You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church. Hey, this is your host, Malia, and today I'm joined by Pastor David.
Yep.
And Pastor Tyler.
Hello, everyone.
How does that sound?
I'm still getting used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But... but it doesn't sound bad. Does it sound bad?
Does it sound bad?
No, it does not sound bad.
Okay.
I was just like thinking, I don't think I introduced you
as pastor
that way on our last episode. And I was like, well, yeah, that's what you are now. So
it trips people up still.
I don't. Well, here's what's funny. I've been doing this long enough. I don't mandate to be called pastor. Like, I'm not one of those that, you know, but I will admit it's awkward now if I don't hear it before. So now I'm on the reverse side.
Yeah.
Like, if someone just calls me David, it's weird sometimes. So
I'm usually just like, hey boss.
Pretty much.
Hey boss. Yeah.
Pretty much. So
trying to get into his good graces.
Wait, hold on, hold on. Let's backtrack. What was I in your phone for the longest of time?
It was for a long time. But I mean, in my defense, you were not my pastor then.
It's true. This was pre-merger.
You did not have authority over
pre-merger. No authority or respect, but go for it.
You were in as David, a.k.a. Dummy.
Yeah, there you go.
Or I might have had Dummy, a.k.a. David. I can't remember. It was one of those two. But it was because it was an inside joke.
It was.
Because
it was.
I spelled Dummy wrong.
Yeah.
And like a card or email or card or something. I don't remember, but... which was a fatal error on my part because I pride myself on spelling and grammar. And so he gave me a hard time. And so then I was like, don't be a dummy.
And it just came up, what, a month or so ago? Like we talked about it just recently.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned it again. Mm-hmm. Almost like I was still in there as that.
Oh, no. I changed you to Pastor David a while ago. Don't worry. Even before you were like Senior Pastor David.
Oh, okay.
So,
cool.
You know, anyways, there's a lot of respect.
There you go.
Here.
You can feel it flowing.
I know you can. I know. So how's everybody doing today? How are you?
I'm doing great. Practicing for worship practice tonight. Just warming up my fingers. And
ooh, nice.
For strumming the guitar.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I will say, and we talked about this last week a little bit, that it's so cool to hear like music while I'm working. Like I actually turned off my Spotify last week because I was listening to you like play the piano and playing the drums a little bit. You were playing the guitar a little bit. And so it was kind of nice.
I'm glad it's not annoying. Cause
I like
it. If it was, we would be in a rough spot because that's that's just what I have to do. I have to kind of come mess around with stuff.
Yeah, I like it.
If it ever gets that way, you'll hear her yell like, shut the doors.
Okay.
I mean, if I ever am like laser focused and I need to like hear what I'm doing, like if I'm editing or doing, then I'll just shut my door. So no big deal. No big deal. It's
well, all good. Yeah, don't be afraid to tell me to stop either.
No, like, you're fine. So you've got, has it been a full week?
A full week and 3 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And how are you feeling?
Comfortable. Comfortable. I got my desk set up. I think we need to figure out what's happening with those couches in there, but they're there for now. I know Mike meets with a group of kids in there on Wednesday nights. So they'll walk in and be surprised.
Yeah.
But
they'll find a new place to meet. We've got plenty of other spaces, so.
Yeah. But I'm settling in.
Good.
Settling in.
Good deal. Yes.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We are, if there's nothing you have learned so far, it's that we are not on top of things here. And we are so slow.
I would have worded that a little different.
When it comes to...
I would have said, like, we're very relaxed.
Like, our movement is slow. So, I apologize on behalf of everyone for that.
It's really okay. It's been an excellent learning experience.
Excellent. I'm glad you're laid back because would not work otherwise. You'd be like, what am I walking into here?
Mm-hmm. I see David cleaning out his closet here. I'm like, I have a closet that I need to clean out.
That isn't your stuff, so that's kind of sad.
None of that's mine either.
I mean.
It was inherited.
Okay, some of it. But I mean, it's church, like.
It is church stuff. Well, that's
his
too.
It's stuff you use. I don't know.
His is inherited church stuff.
The new guy coming in, having to like, I don't know.
I had to do it.
It's good.
That closet was a disaster.
I bet it was a disaster. Listen, I'm trying to like be nice and generous here.
It sounds like some of the stuff in the closet is maybe Rob's personally, like a couple guitar stands or something. Maybe we should sort that out so I know what to use and what not to use. But super chill environment, completely laid back, and I enjoy that. I enjoy that a lot. It's a much different flow than my former life in healthcare. Very fast, very fast paced.
Yeah. Fast-paced about here.
Yeah. That's good.
Whatever. Like, Sundays come really fast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are, in some sense, there are things, and we tend to plan really far in advance sometimes for stuff, but, like, it's always interesting planning for holidays, like, several months in advance, and, like, I'm already starting to think about Easter, even though I know it's a ways away, but, you know.
It'll be here before we know it.
It really will, so... all right, so we are almost done with Revelation. We've got two more weeks. Yeah, so today we're going to cover the last half of chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, and then the first part of chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. So we're talking about how Jesus will defeat all the enemies of God forever. He's going to send them to eternal punishment in hell. So super happy, touchy-feely stuff. And then we'll also be talking a little bit about the new heaven and the new earth where Christ will spend with eternity with his redeemed people, which is exciting, even though we don't get excited on Sundays when you preach on it.
I know. Come on.
We're just so...
I need amen signs.
Stuck in our ways, you know?
Amen signs.
We're so stuck in our quiet culture.
You mean like stuck onto a popsicle stick?
Yeah, like, or like put it up front or do something or like flashing, like you know how applause signs it shows?
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Listen, amens. I'm not looking for applause, people. Just amens. I don't want applause. No. Anyways, you know, even as you were saying that intro, I want to start by simply saying this. We don't like talking about the judgment and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But here's an important truth about the Bible. We can't stand on the promises that we like unless we stand also on the promises that are hard for us. And so, you know, when you have people that like to pick and choose scripture, you got to be, you know, no, it's not that you need to be careful of that. You need to not do that because the God that promises that eternal heaven is the God that also promised eternal hell.
Amen.
And so thank you. Thank you.
Man, see, well done.
I know.
I could feel it coming.
Well, I know it was bubbling up. The spirit was.
Yep.
But I mean, I just think that's important. You know, it's important because we can't stand confidently upon promises, any promises, unless we stand on every promise, and that's important. That's why we have to learn it and know it, and so.
I think one thing that has stood out to me about this section about the Book of Life is it. In the past, I think it always struck a little bit of fear. Mm-hmm. And maybe because you think about, you know, the sinfulness that we have in us. And I'm like, gosh, it's like airing all your dirty laundry kind of thing, you know? And so that's always like kind of terrified me a little bit, even though like I know that my salvation is secure. And part of me is like, you know, I don't care. I don't need jewels in heaven. I just want to be in heaven. Like give me a shack down by the river. I don't care sort of thing. But then
I want to van.
When I was doing this last Revelation study, I kind of started looking at it differently because she's basically, the teacher said, we may think we don't want to see them, like the things that, like our life, but we'll finally know how far he went for us. Mm. Like the real brutal honesty of that and the truth and like the fact that that's going to be erased. You know, and to come face to face with that, like, I was like, wow, that's really incredible. So, I think we tend to think of it on the other lens of like the shame and like but it's actually a really, really beautiful thing. And so I'm maybe a little more excited for it, Yeah. I don't know if excited is the right word, but I definitely am looking at it differently now. That's so cool. Yeah.
I like that.
I do too.
So I know, like, before we hit record, we kind of just talked real quick. We're kind of flying by the seat of our pants today. But we talked a little bit about how there's differences in, like, the terms that are used for hell, right? Mm-hmm. And there's different places mm-hmm. depending on where we were at in the timeline and mm-hmm. things like that, right?
Yep.
So, sorry. So what is hell? And I think, like, on the most basic level, I have a little list from a commentary here. So this is what Jesus taught. Hell is real. Hell is separation from God. Hell is for all the accursed ones. Hell is eternal. Hell is fire. Hell is a prepared place. Hell is eternity with the devil and his angels. Hell is inevitable if you have never come to Christ. Hell is inescapable once you are there. And hell is avoidable if you will repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Hmm. So that, like, on the most basic mm-hmm. level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But now break it down, because there are different terms thrown around, like Hades and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the Old Testament, you hear the word Sheol a lot,
mm-hmm.
used a lot. And then in the New Testament, you hear Hades. So same word, Hebrew word, Greek word, okay? Meaning the same locate or the same place. It's referring to the same place. Basically, Sheol and Hades, basic definition would be the place of the dead. The idea behind it is that's, you know, when you die, it's the place where the dead go. See, this is the part where it starts getting hard for us to wrap our heads around, mm-hmm. right? Because I said it on Sunday, we use this term, I think I said it on Sunday, or maybe in a conversation with somebody talking about Sunday, was we use this term hell as this very broad, you know, like, if you die, you're going to hell, okay? The issue is what we were talking about on Sunday is the lake of fire, this burning lake of fire, nobody's there yet, right? Like, wherever it exists, however it exists, nobody is thrown in hell at this point, if that's what we say hell is, that eternal punishment, okay? But there's this place called Hades, okay, and Sheol. So that's where it gets weird, because in this passage of Scripture, the Bible says, John says, even Hades was thrown into the lake of fire. So now you're like, it's like wrapping your head around, right? It's like...
super confusing.
The condition, because he says death and Hades is thrown into the lake of fire. So when I was growing up, I always pictured this as, well, there's really is this thing out there, death, right? Like, he's going to get thrown in. But then Hades is where it gets, well, this gets weird, right? Because Greek mythology, you know, Hades is a god, right? Mm-hmm. He's the one that oversees the place of the dead. So this is where it gets weird. So when John says death and Hades, he's not talking about individuals. He's talking about the condition. The condition is death, right? That's the final judgment of death, right? Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Oh, death. Like, he's speaking to death as though it's an individual, but he's speaking to the condition, right? So the condition of the curse of death will be cast, like it'll be done with, like it's judged, it's gone. But Hades itself is a location, right? So it's not another individual, it's a location. I apologize for anybody listening if this feels like we're going, I'm going to simplify it real right here.
We like simplified. Okay?
The eternal right now is set up the same way that we would think about incarceration even for humans. So let's put it this way. If I am arrested and I, you know, if I commit a crime and I'm arrested, I am not sent to prison. I am sent to jail. Jail is a temporary location of my incarceration. At some point in time, after my guilt, I stand before the judge and I receive my sentence. When I receive my sentence, I then go to the penitentiary. I go to prison. I go to serve out my sentence. So the way this works is, when you read Scripture and you look at this, and a lot of, most scholars are all agree to this, is that if we die... See, this is what also gets weird, because it changed after Jesus. Mm-hmm. So let's go pre-Jesus.
Okay, let's do it.
If I died pre-Jesus, the simplest way to say this is the wicked, those that rejected not Christ, but like, I don't know how it worked in the Old Testament, right? There's righteousness. There's like, just because mm-hmm. Jesus hadn't come yet doesn't mean people are lost. God does whatever he does with that. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But what ended up happening was, if you were considered righteous in the eyes of God, right? You'd go to Hades, but you would go to a place called paradise. Jesus talked of paradise, okay? Paradise is not heaven. It's not in the presence of God. It's not torment, though. You're in Hades, but you're in paradise. Those that were wicked or unrighteous, when they died, would go to a place called Hades, but they would go to a place of torment. Now, for us to understand this, Jesus taught about it. I wish right now I could tell you off the top of my head where it's at and which gospel, but I can't. Mm-hmm. But Jesus tells the story of Lazarus and the rich man.
Yeah.
Okay? This is not a parable. See, a lot of people want to chalk it up to a parable. Mm-hmm. It's not a parable because Jesus didn't use real names in parables. And when Jesus spoke in parables, he said things like, it is like, or he's making a comparison. Jesus is telling a story of a rich man who died in his wickedness and went to Hades and goes to torment. But Lazarus, he goes to the place of paradise, or Abraham's bosom, right? That's what it's referred to in Scripture. So before Jesus, there is this place that we would call, it's Hades, it's the place of the dead, but it was divided up into two sections, the righteous and the unrighteous. The unrighteous were in torment. If you remember the story, Jesus says the rich man looked up to Abraham, or not, he looked up and he saw Lazarus, and he cries out to Abraham, and he basically saying, I am in agony, send Lazarus to dip his finger in, mm-hmm. you know. And so Jesus taught of this place, okay? All right, so now Jesus comes. Mm-hmm. He dies. There's the Apostles' Creed. We've talked about this just a few weeks ago. Right. That's the one part that's really interesting about the Apostles'
that
Creed.
That he descended to the dead.
He descended to hell. To hell, right? Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't descend to hell as far as the lake of fire. Mm-hmm. He descended into Hades. And because he went to the place of the dead, mm-hmm. right? Then Paul talks about this. I believe it's in Ephesians or Philippians, one of the two. I apologize if anybody's hearing my Star Wars noises coming from my phone. But anyways, Paul talks about this where Jesus, he says he descended into the lower parts, right? Mm-hmm. This is where they get the hell part.
Right.
And then he says he led captives out of captivity. Like he led captives free, as it talks mm-hmm. about. There's always been speculation about right. that. I believe, and most of the scholars that I have studied, says when Jesus died, he descended down to Hades, he proclaimed the gospel
right.
in Hades, and then he emptied out the righteous. Like, they left, because now they can descend into the presence of the Father, because Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus is the way
so wait, people that were not believers that are in Hades heard the gospel from Jesus, and now they're righteous.
The righteous ones. The unrighteous, see, this is where the speculation gets into.
So there's righteous and unrighteous there?
Yeah. Lazarus and the...
So that's Abraham's Lazarus. Bosom is in Hades?
Yeah.
Oh.
My mind We're almost having a replay of last week.
I know. Like, it's just so much to wrap your head around. Because I know we've talked about the analogy with the prison and the jail too mm-hmm. before. Yeah, my brain hurts.
Again, it goes back to let's.
So they're not. So are they being tormented? They're being tormented there?
The unrighteous are.
Okay, but then Abraham's bosom is like the safe place in Hades
that for would the righteous be the way
that Scripture are presents like, it. Okay. Okay. I'm tracking with you. Okay.
So you have to go back to once again. Look at the terms. See, this is what's hard about it, is we're trying to understand everything through the lens of like now.
Mm-hmm.
Hades, again, the definition of Hades, the place of the dead. Mm-hmm. Okay? That doesn't say righteous or unrighteous, just the place of the dead. So everybody that died before Christ, there was no life before right. Christ. So everyone would go to the place of the dead. Mm-hmm. It's just Jesus presents this reality of Lazarus was in comfort and
right.
The rich
okay,
man
no, that
torment.
Makes sense. That makes sense. That makes mm-hmm. sense.
The problem is that's all we have. There's nothing else that...
Right.
Everything else beyond that is going to be complete and utter speculation right. of what that looks like. That's literally all we have. Mm-hmm. We know there's a place of the dead. Old Testament talks about everybody going there.
Right.
New Testament, yeah. Jesus confirms that.
Right. Well, I was kind of listening this morning to the spot in Galatians where Paul's talking about like the promise to Abraham mm-hmm. and how people are righteous because of that,
mm-hmm.
And how that all, well, kind of how that worked.
Mm-hmm.
before Christ. And so I kind of feel like, yeah, that and that again, helps me.
And that's what's hard about it, because some people will want to say, well, what makes them get to be there? I don't, God's the judge. I don't get
right.
Of course, obedience, faith.
Right.
You know, like, what did that look like? Or how does God judge that? We don't know.
Right.
But the God law. Is the good judge, and he determines that.
Why he gave us the law. That gave us the law then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But see, this is the cool part. So now let's let's talk about Hades, and you talk about Abraham's bosom, and you talk about the place of torment. Let's go to Jesus on the cross. The thief cries out to Jesus. What does Jesus say to the thief on the cross?
Today you will be with me in paradise.
What is that? Is that heaven? No.
No.
It's paradise and Hades, because that's where Jesus descended. Abraham's that's where bosom. This guy would have descended. Okay. Like, Jesus is like, listen, when we die, we're going to the same place. But the scholarly that I the scholars that I've studied, and just the way it makes sense to me, is Jesus descended. He proclaimed the gospel for two reasons. He proclaimed the gospel to those of the Old Testament that were faithful. So, like, you think about Hebrews, it talks about those that are looking forward,
right?
So Jesus goes and proclaims to them, I'm the one you've been waiting for, right? But he also proclaims it to the unrighteous, because I believe he did, because he's basically showing them, I'm the one you rejected, right? So both have to hear the gospel.
Okay, I like that.
Right?
I like
that. But then, again, the scholars that I adhere to, or at least the teachings that I'm like, that makes sense, is that Jesus descended, but then he also led those out of Hades into the eternal presence of God.
Sure.
So I say all that because when people still die today, they're not going to the lake of fire. They're still going to the torment of Hades until the time where the Bible says here that he will resurrect all of the dead. Now, see, that's the other key point there. Those that are righteous, we're not considered dead. We're alive, right? We're alive in Christ. So that's not referring to us, even though we're thinking about my dead relative that knew Jesus. They're more alive today than they were when they were here on earth. So the dead here is referring to all those that are still in jail in Hades. Hades will give up the dead. The sea will. So basically, he's saying everyone is going to be given up to go to the sentencing. And then this is the sentencing. And then after the sentencing, they are sent to their eternal.
Okay.
Like, this is where you're going now.
Right.
Then, when we say hell, if we're thinking about it as this lake of fire, that's when everybody goes to hell.
Okay.
And then it's done.
Okay.
So Satan's there, the demons are there, all the unrighteous are there from the beginning of time, of mankind, all the way up till the last moment of rebellion. They're all thrown in the lake of fire.
So up, if somebody passes away today and they're considered a righteous person in the eyes of God, they've repented of their sins, they go to...
They go right to the presence of God.
Yes. Yep. What we consider heaven, where in Revelation we'll be coming back with... Yep.
Yeah. So, see, this is where it gets really interesting when we talk the terms, right?
Yep.
So, whenever I say the term heaven, just to clarify... In my brain, what I am thinking about when I say heaven is the dwelling place of God.
Yep.
It's not the my reward. It's not the streets of gold. It's not the, like, wherever God's full, unaltered glory. And what I mean by unaltered is him not, like, lessening it to not wipe us out. Wherever the full presence of God is, that's heaven.
Okay.
So when I say heaven, so... Paul talks about this without using these words. Remember what Paul says. He says to be absent from body is to be present with the Lord. So he's teaching about it, but he's not using the words. He's not sitting there going through, okay, we're not going to Hades. We're not. He just jumped all over that, and he says to be absent with our bodies, to be present with the Lord.
Right.
Because Jesus now is the doorway. He opened the door for us to enter into the presence of God.
Well, in that same vein then, in what sense is God absent from hell? So, like, we always say that, you know, if you are not a believer, when you die, you're instantly, like, not in the presence of God. Like, God is not there. So, in what sense is God absent from hell if he's omnipresent?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm going to say the way he's absent from hell is because even though God's omnipresent, God can choose where he wants to be. So it's a place that God has chosen that his presence is not. Right, his presence
won't be. Okay.
Like, he has the, that's what I'm saying. He's also all powerful, right?
Right.
So it's like he can, I'm able to be everywhere, but I can choose not to be.
Because he created hell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If he's the creation of everything, so he can choose to not have his presence be felt. Okay. Yeah.
So
that makes sense.
So when you think about hell, this is another thing of defining hell. It's an amazing story and it's an amazing imagery, but like Dante's Inferno has done some of the worst mentalities over the centuries of how people see hell. Anybody that doesn't know, like Dante, you know, like wrote this talking about the different levels of hell. And so now that's where everybody gets their imagery, right? Like this idea of hell is where Satan will be tormenting us and his demons will be tormenting us. Now, listen, I don't know if that's what's happening in Hades. Because like, that's a place of darkness. That's a place. I don't know. Maybe. But when we get to the lake of fire here, this is not Satan's kingdom. This is Satan's punishment. Mm. So him and his demons are going to be punished just as much as the unrighteous that are there. So, you know, so when we think about hell, what makes hell hell is not because it's the lake of fire, not because it's torment, not because that. It's what you just said. There's no speck of God's presence. So you think of everything that's good in our lives, right? And it's such a less degree. Like God is the ultimate fulfillment of all of it. So that means it's not that there's a little bit of joy. There's no joy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that there's a little bit of comfort. There's no comfort. There's no place to find comfort. No happiness, no laughter, no love. You know, I've had people say this, like, my loved one's in hell and I want to be with them. You're not going to be with them.
Mm-mm.
You're not going to be with them. Because Jesus taught about this too. Hell is a place of outer darkness, right? Mm-hmm. So I think hell is, part of it is, think about that. Relationship is because of God. Community is because of God, right? So if God's presence is not there, there is no relationship. Mm-hmm. There is no community. There is no more we're suffering together. It's you're completely on your own.
Mm-hmm.
That's my feeling of it is
because
everything we're talking about is because of God and his presence ain't there.
Yeah.
Right. So,
well, and that's why they say like for unbelievers, earth is the closest thing they'll get to heaven because, you know, like here we have the unbelievers get the common graces that because God's presence is here and God is here. And so,
So, I mean, ultimately, it is extremely scary,
mm-hmm.
but it really flies in the face of those people that are, I'm going to say it, it's not just foolishness, it's ignorance, but sometimes it's also stupidity. This idea of like, I'm going to go party up in hell and I'm going to rule in hell and I'm going to just like, no, you're not. Mm-hmm. No, you're not. Like, there's no,
not biblical at all.
No, no. And to give you an example, you know, I mentioned it on Sunday. Of that movie that's coming out about, you know, Satan, Dear Santa. But it also makes me think about, there was another movie when I was younger, Little Nicky, right?
Oh, so Adam Sandler.
That absolutely hilarious movie. I'll admit it. You know, I laughed hysterically at it. But it's another one of those movies that I think, I'm not saying like evil Adam Sandler, but I'm saying these are things that Satan likes to use to chip away of this, like, that's what hell's going to be like. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, there's going to be torment. Like, we're making a joke about it. We're making a joke about judgment. But still, like, you know, like, we're going to be walking around and seeing people and.
Yeah, nope. It's
like, no, you're not.
No.
That's not how it works.
Yeah, so. Forever thirsty, forever hungry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no satisfaction.
Yeah.
No nothing. And then I think sometimes the lake of fire might throw us for a loop because I'm going to say this. This is just a question I have. I don't know. I question, is it really a lake of fire?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or was that the, like, that's the best thing John could think of to say, like, this is horror and trying to describe it. Right? Mm-hmm. Because when you think of a lake of fire, which I, growing up, I always pictured this when I was a kid, right? People just out there swimming in a, you know, burning, like not swimming in a happy way, but they're just out there, you know.
Yeah. A peek into the mind of David.
Pretty much. Well, I put the two together. It's a lake and it's fire. And you're getting thrown into it. And
I always pictured like flames and people just like screaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the ultimate thing is that's why we put our faith and trust in Jesus is so that, you know, we don't have to experience that. You said the statement, this is the closest that unbelievers will get to heaven and this is the closest that believers will get to hell.
Yep.
So
yep.
I didn't talk about it on Sunday, but to throw another thought out because I didn't want to muddy the water or really cause anybody to focus on this. but said the podcast is a good place. My personal belief is that we will, believers will witness this.
Ooh.
My belief is that we'll watch it.
People being thrown into it?
Mm-hmm. Because it goes back to even what you were saying about when he opens the books and we see how mm-hmm. much. I think this is another example of you have to see what you were saved from.
Mm-hmm.
I think before we enter into our eternal state and the mm-hmm. blessedness of that,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have to witness. The other reason I believe that is, and again, this is speculation, but you know, I talked about on Sunday, right? The earth and the heavens have been removed, right? So where are we going to be? You know, this is the presence of Jesus. We're in the presence of Jesus. And so anyways, mm-hmm. I think we're going to see it. I think we're going to see it. I think that also fits into the next verses that I talked about in 21, where it talks about every tear being wiped away. I think there's going to be tears in that moment. I think God, the ultimate comfort of God is going to come afterwards, and he will comfort us. But that's my belief, is mm-hmm. that we're going to have to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right. So let's talk about the new heaven and the new earth quickly here.
Okay.
Quickly.
It's like the best stuff.
Have you ever read Tyler... Randy Alcorn's Heaven, book on heaven?
I've not.
So
I've,
good.
I've heard about it, mm-hmm. and I've read books like it.
Okay. So I know I've talked about it on our podcast before, but I read the kids' version with our youngest son, and it's so good. Like, because it really, I was like, man, I think adults should read the kid version because it just makes, it simplifies everything.
Yep.
But answers, like, great questions about... like pets and like what the new heavens and the new earth are going to be like. And so, I mean, my son is fully convinced he's going to get to like ride dinosaurs and like do all these cool things now. And I love that like the possibilities are so like endless, really, because we don't know. But we do have some glimpses of what he does mm-hmm. lovingly give us some ideas of what it will be like. And so, in this first section here, it says, the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. Mm-hmm. So why do you think, what do you think is significant about there being no sea in the new heavens and the new earth?
Well, there's two thought processes with it. And I'm fine with either one, and it could be both of them at the same time. It could mean that there's literally no sea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of the things that we have to remember for us is we try to interpret scripture through the lens of what we know. And all we know right. is this earth. And we foolishly assume that this earth is what God originally created. What we have to remember is the majority of the reason that I think the earth is covered by so much water is because we're still living under the ramifications of the flood.
Oh.
Like, that's, I mean, if you think about it, the Bible says the heavens opened. There was no rain before the flood. Scripture talks, you know, there's references to that there was,
we
like,
don't know
mist.
That no one that they'd ever even seen rain before.
Yeah. I mean, it talks about a mist that covered the earth, but mm-hmm. it doesn't talk about actual rain.
Mm-hmm.
So the rain, the Bible tells us the heavens opened and the rain fell and the waters of the deep shot forth. And so that's the other thing that's interesting is we're living in an earth that we automatically think this is what it looked like the moment God created it.
Yeah.
And it's not.
That's interesting. I never even thought about that.
Yeah. Well, and Peter talks about this. I had it in my notes on Sunday, but I skipped it. Mm-hmm. There's a scripture in 2 Peter, I believe, where Peter talks about the fact that there was three earths. He says there was the first one. That one was destroyed by the flood.
Oh.
There's this one. This one's going to be destroyed by fire.
Uh-huh.
We're awaiting the third.
Huh.
So... three different earths. So that, we always have to remember that. Yeah. We always try to, like, oh, this is the way the earth was.
Right, right.
So when God says he's removing, there's no sea, that could literally mean that. There is no mm-hmm. sea. Now, what does that mean? No water? Well, the Bible also talks about a river in right. Revelation. But that's what I'm saying. We don't know. We try to interpret now. Like, we are water-based even creatures. What are mm-hmm. like 70-some percent, they say, of our body is mm-hmm. made up of water?
Oh, I think it's...
looking at the medical person.
It's more than that.
It's more than that. Okay, yeah. And, you know, like, we need water to survive. And
yeah.
You know, that's the thing that's cool about the new earth is it's totally new. We don't... We try to envision it through recreating of this.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. Like, it could be completely... completely. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know. That's the beauty of it. I mm-hmm. don't know.
Right.
I just believe that John was so caught off, like he was in such awe of it. That mm-hmm. That's why I made my comment on Sunday that even God had to remind him, buddy, write it down. I told you to write it down.
Yeah, that's funny.
You know? So anyways.
No, that's interesting.
The other theory is with the sea part, just real quick, is we talked about this some in Revelation. The sea, in a Jewish perspective, was always seen as a place of chaos, mm-hmm. a place of disorder, a place of rebellion. So that's the spiritual thought,
right.
is maybe John put that as a, you know, symbolic, mm-hmm. like there was no sea, meaning there was no more chaos, there's no more rebellion, there's no more, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
of any of that. So no, there that, you
I track with that too.
It could be both. Mm-hmm. It could be one or the other. We don't know. We'll find out someday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Don't you want to know, like, are we instantly going to know things? Are we, like, is, I know we're going to be learning, mm-hmm. like, forever, which is awesome, I think. But, like, what are we going to just know? Like, maybe there's some things we'll innately just know, and I don't know. But otherwise, like, how are we going to learn things? How are we going to find out things? Like,
I don't know.
I asked somebody in our Friday morning Bible study what Jesus talks about storing up treasures in heaven. And I have a hard time wrapping myself around that idea that there's going to be certain different treasures in heaven. So I asked him what he thought that meant, and his response was relationships. Those will be the treasures in heaven, and I thought that was an interesting take. Mm-hmm. And I hope I get to have a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. The only thing that's going to heaven are souls.
Yeah.
So
that's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's it is an interesting question because the Bible talks about us receiving crowns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Know, yeah.
Talks about us throwing them back.
I'm like, listen, I like my bling, but
yeah. I mean, I think some of our treasures also is the relationships, but Paul talks about this. Paul, when he talks about the judgment seat of Christ, he also says, don't build your life upon things like straw. That's going to get burned up. Mm-hmm. Like he talks about the mm-hmm. precious thing. So I think part of it also is the reward. Part of our treasures is going to be, not that we'll throw it in people's faces because pride is gone in that, but I think we're going to be honored for the things that we have done for him, right? I think there's going to be some kind of a, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know what that looks like. I'm just saying, like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
it is, yeah. Again, all speculation and all, mm-hmm. yeah. It'll be awesome and interesting to see what it looks like. So,
I anticipate all that. I look forward to learning when it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you got an eternity, so you got to do something.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So last question, mm-hmm. how will our communion with God be different in eternity?
Well,
I mean, right off the bat, I think like it's not going to be marred by sin. There's mm-hmm. not going to be that sin obstacle there anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be a huge one.
I think, kind of a big deal.
I think some of the things that you think about that we wrestle with here on this earth that will be removed. So think about, how often do we live our lives not feeling like God is close, right? Like yeah, that'll be removed.
Absolutely. You know, we've all been there.
Or how long? Mm-hmm. How many times do we wrestle with he's mad at me, or he's forsaken me, or mm-hmm. he's abandoned me? Or you think about all that stuff that we wrestle with here in our flesh. He's not listening to me. He's not near. He's not close. He's not. And I think a lot of our relationship, our communion with God on earth, not for bad reasons, but think about how much it's based on emotion. It's mm-hmm. emotion-based here. And I think God designed it that way to a point. He gave us emotions. They're a gift from him. Like, he wants those. I guess in heaven, my attitude towards that would be, while we're still going to probably have emotions, I'm sure. We have to, because it talks about joy and all that. But that relationship's not going to be based anything upon emotion. You know what I mean by that,
right,
is like,
yeah.
I'm not going to question. I'm not, you know, like, it's mm-hmm. not going to be this negativity of emotion that can cause me to wrestle in my communion with God. Or you think about the limited thing we experience here on earth, you know, the mountaintop experience, right? We chase after those. I mean, wouldn't heaven be a constant mountaintop experience? I mean, You're in the presence of God constantly. Mm-hmm.
The ultimate adrenaline rush.
Well, yeah, I mean, so that's one of the things I think about is the thing, all the things we struggle with here on earth that will be removed. And that's the big one that I know I wrestle with is, you know, are you there?
Do you care? Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret.
Yeah, well, not Margaret.
Do you remember those?
I do.
Those books. Yeah.
But, I mean, again, how many times do you feel like you pray and it's not going anywhere? Mm-hmm. How many times do you feel like, you know, he's abandoned? Again, he's somewhere else and all that's going to be removed.
Yeah, so, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. My part that's interesting, so I'll throw it out there. I think about, it's weird. It's not necessarily horribly important, but this is where my brain goes. Like, I think about things like this, like, what's the Father going to look like?
Mm.
Like, is he going to be a physical? Because the Bible talks about he is spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the physical, you know, in the flesh, and Jesus chose to keep that. I don't think a lot of people realize that when Jesus took on flesh, he did it for eternity.
Mm.
Like, it wasn't a one-time thing. It wasn't like after he died, he went back to what he existed as before. He clothed himself with flesh, and he is still clothed in glorified flesh.
The debate will finally be settled.
Well, yeah.
What did Jesus look like?
That's one. But then another one I think about is like the Holy Spirit. Like in heaven, are we going to see all three? Like how would...
Yeah.
I don't... Like that's the thing that blows my mind is stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like how are we going to see... You know, are you just chilling up there and Holy Spirit walks by?
It's not going to be like the shack.
Oh, yeah. The woman.
Sorry.
Yeah, because then I think about that too, you know, it's all the speculation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the things I think about is, are we earthbound or do I get to explore the universe?
I think we're going to get to explore.
Well, yeah. And what's cool about that is if we get to, again, we're always in the presence of God, but we're not always going to be in the presence of Jesus.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that, I don't mean that as a negative, but it goes back to wrapping my brain around. Jesus took on flesh. Jesus himself is in one place, right? Yeah. Father's everywhere. So all that stuff just blows my mind of what it's going
to
be like.
I really think we're going to get to like teleport because Ezekiel has been teleported. I don't even know how many times now in my reading. Like God's moving him all over the place.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I think it's going to happen.
That's what I'm saying. There's so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I said on Sunday, I have a hard time when people write books like 90 Minutes in Heaven. And
right.
They're emotional.
Yeah. I don't believe any of that
stuff. But I have a hard time with that. And the other reason I have a hard time with some of the, I'm going to say, I don't want to say all because I haven't read all, but some is you notice every time they're written, it seems like they're so man focused.
Yeah.
Like, I saw my relatives. I saw this person. I saw this. Mm-hmm. And it misses the point completely that this is all about God.
Mm-hmm.
When John wrote his, he wasn't talking about, you know, I saw my great grandma. She was chilling up there. And I'm looking forward to the day I have my river house, you know. And So, anyways, that's one of the things I wrestle with.
Yeah.
If it's not God focused, it's not from God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good reminder. It's a good reminder. All right. Well, this Sunday we are, where are we?
We'll finish
up 21.
21 and just a little bit of 22 because we're going to look at, John goes into some deeper description.
Oh, yeah. There's like some measuring and.
Yeah, he goes into description of New Jerusalem and stuff like that.
Yes.
So once again, it fits with what we're talking about. Like, this is the description that God wanted us to have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the description we're going to look at.
Okay. So. Cool. All right. Thanks for listening.